نحمده صلی علی رسوله الكریم اما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد الهادي الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد الولي الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد الولي وصحبه وبارك وسلم اما بعد دوشي بلال اللهم صل على ابراهيم
On a normal basis, if we look at the situation around us, normal situation, normal circumstances, the human being, whatever condition he is in, whatever state of affairs he's passing through. But there's definitely one feeling, one emotion inside him. What this means is that he is never completely satisfied with himself. Yeah, there's still some thirst remaining inside every person. Whatever field of life you're in, whatever work you're doing, whatever action you're doing, whether it's relating to business, whether some home-related matters, family matters, whether it's related to worship or prayer, or any part or facet of life, but the human being, there's always feel something lacking inside, something. There's a gap, and he doesn't understand what is this gap, what's missing. Even if he's got family, children, he's not satisfied. If he's got good business, still not satisfied. So there's always some sort of complaint or gap. If he's worshipping, then even then the individual complains about his quality of worship. So what is it that's due to the reason that that individual is feeling that there's something missing? Sometimes it happens that the individual, he slips and falls off the track. He thinks that I'm not getting any benefit, I don't know what's happening, maybe I'm on the wrong path. And he goes to the wrong path, that individual. Or he gets attracted to something else, or he gets deviated, influenced in a negative way. So that individual, he never understands what's missing, what's lacking. If he could understand it, then he could fill that gap. Obviously, if you don't understand something, then you can't act up against it. You can't remedy it. So there's one reason for all of this. That despite having everything in life, if there's no barakah, no blessings, then you don't attain anything. Barakah, blessings, that fills the gap in all of our affairs, all of our issues. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, he did a lot of dua for this, lot of prayer. The blessings in wealth, in your children, in your life, in your worship, barakah, sleeping barakah, eating barakah, and your business barakah, blessings. If you take barakah, blessings, out of all of these parts of life, then that's where the situation starts to go downhill. The whole of success is based on barakah, blessings. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Whether it's your business, you've got a good business, good turnover. If there's barakah, then consider, mashallah, that individual is satisfied and content. Even if it's a little bit of wealth, even if it's poverty, but if there's barakah, then that person or those people are happy with their poverty. If he's rich, wealthy, big business, no blessings, then he will think he's a failure. And distress and sorrow and sadness and anxiety. In every field of life you have the same application. Worship, the same rule applies. In your personal affairs, same rule applies. In everything, the thing that spoils our life and takes us down is lack of barakah, blessings. So if a person has a little bit only, but he's got barakah, then it never ends what he's got. It never ends. But if you've got stacks of wealth but no barakah, then you think, I've got nothing, I'm struggling. So when this situation arises in a person's life, then straight away understand the reason for this is just one that I can identify, that in my life there's no barakah in my life, parts of my life. The barakah is frozen. And I remember a story from our pious predecessors regarding barakah, blessings, that there was an individual and he had a family. His parents became old. So he said that I will start to distribute my assets, whoever wants take what they need. And all his children were alert, like today we have in this generation. They were alert. Somebody said, I like this. Another child said, I like this. Somebody took a shop, somebody took a house, somebody took this. And the youngest child, he said, okay, you take what you want, to his siblings. He said, you take what you want, I have no issue with that, I just want my father, he said. Subhanallah. Because no one was taking the father. Oh, he's old man, he's going downhill, he's a problem, innit? If we look after him, get the medicines, look after him, and you have to keep asking. Like today in this generation, we see that today in society, and our people are more in this problem. So all the other children said, oh yeah, we don't need father, you take Abba, they said. If you want the father, fine, fine, you take father, we'll take this asset, this building, this money. And they started distributing the father's wealth. And he, the youngest child, took his old father to look after him. And mashallah, there's no greater treasure than the mother and father. So his transaction, the youngest child, was a very precious and valuable transaction. In the eyes of the worldly people, it was a weak transaction. But the service of the mother and father, what you can get, the barakah, the blessings, you cannot imagine the scale of blessings in serving the mother and father. Mother and father, even if you sit next to them, and if you compare from the children, those children who live with the parents and those who don't live with the parents, you will see the difference between like the sky and the earth in the status. Why? Because I said there's barakah, blessings in this action. There's blessings in serving those parents. Little bit, if you, your mother or father, if you get an opportunity to please them, all your life you'll feel the taste of serving them, helping them. Mother's dua, if she prays for you, the mother, forget the dua. If a mother slaps you, that's beloved. Even if you get the slap of the mother, even if she tells you off or hits you or tells you off, that lifelong feeling, even if you get love from other people, but no one can compare to the slap that the mother gave to the child. Because Allah's put barakah and the affection and the love in that, in the mother and the father. It doesn't matter how old the child becomes, doesn't matter if he's old, but his mother will always say, my son, to the, yeah, even if he's old. Yeah, there's no status, it doesn't matter if he's got high status, title in the world, he becomes kuttab, ghawth, pious, waliyullah, but mother is still mother for the child. Mother is still mother. Mother, even after passing away, she's your mother. Remember this as well. Even if he passes away, your mother, even then she's your mother. And both are fortunate. Those who live in the shade of the mother with the love and the affection and the muhabbat of the mother, they are fortunate children. If they were not disrespectful to the mother, if they weren't disrespectful, bear them, if they didn't pain the heart of the mother, then they're fortunate, those children. But if mother's alive and the father's alive and they're living, but the mother and father, he pains the heart of the child, breaks the heart of the parents, makes them upset due to something, and then you can imagine the loss that person will suffer. Doesn't matter if the mother does dua, even doesn't curse him, but Allah will not be happy with that child. Why? Because Allah's Nabi, the Prophet said, Ameen on this dua, that destroyed is that individual who has made his mother and father unhappy. Doesn't matter if you have to give a big sacrifice for your parents, It's a minor sacrifice. It's nothing at all. Nothing at all. It's a massive asset to have the parents. And those who don't have the mother, the love of the mother, who never felt it, yes, first of all, who is that? The first orphan, the biggest orphan was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't get that love and affection of the mother, of the father. He's the greatest example. Even this Allah demonstrated that there was a hikmah in this, a wisdom. Yes, then the enjoyment of that is different because Allah then compensates for that and gives more love to that individual. I remember when I was maybe 1 year old possibly, or just younger than that, my mother passed away. I didn't even know. But you'll be surprised to hear that. That when I was married, when I got married that day, then at that time my mother came in my dream that night. And I was awake a bit and I was a bit drowsy. My nikah I think was in the morning. And my mother was present and she was giving me love and affection. And my eyes suddenly opened. I said, you know, even after a mother passes away, she's still your mother. Still is your mother. And if you're in that condition, then alhamdulillah, one sunnah is being fulfilled. And the second thing is that, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't keep that person in loss. Allah then gives him higher grade of love. Allah compensates for the loss of the mother. So both feelings, both conditions, Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, it overwhelms. But those who have a mother who's alive, compared to that, you cannot compare anything else to if you have a mother. Remember this. Nobody can compare. Anyhow, Allah Ta'ala give us all, if our parents are alive, the ability to serve our parents. And may Allah give us the shade of the parents. And may Allah give us the company of our parents. May Allah give us the nearness to our parents. Because being detached from them is a big loss. And that, so going back to the example, there was a person, his children, they all took his assets. And he said, the youngest child, I'll take my father. My father. So he took the father. Father passed away, he was poor, he had nothing. All the wealth was taken by the other brothers already. So when the father passed away, then the child saw his father in the dream. And he said, you go to such a place and there's a lot of treasure there. You can dig there and you'll find the treasure. He said, where, father? He said, in this place, this location. Look here, one point here. The treasure is there. You can take it. But there's no barakah in that. There's no blessings in that. He said, then I won't take that. He said, I won't take it, the child said. Morning came, his eyes opened, and he told his wife that I saw this dream and Abba came in my dream, and he said that location. She said, okay, let's take some of that treasure, the wife said. And then he saw a dream, then he saw the same situation, and he said, okay, you can take that, but there's no barakah in that treasure, in that money. He said, okay, I won't take it. Then he told his wife again, just like a person shares with the dream. The wife started fighting with him. Why are you running after barakah, blessings, that money we get, take it. At least our poverty will go far. At least we can start eating and drinking food and bread. We need this. Then he saw the dream again, third day. And his father said, there's a certain location, there's only a little bit of money. Maybe for a few days you can spend that. It's located here in another location. But there's blessings in that money. He said, okay, I'll take that money. The barakah. Khair, he went there. In the morning, he got that money. The small amount of money. He came home. He said, I got some money. Hey, alhamdulillah. My father said, there's barakah in this. He said, okay, there will be barakah in this. Fine. Go and get some good shopping so we can cook some food. We're hungry for 3 days. And he said, okay, I feel like eating fish for many days now. I'll go and buy some fish. He said, okay, fine, go and get some fish. So he went to buy the fish. And when he got the fish, and he bought the fish for that much money, he came home, when he cut the fish, inside the fish, there was a diamond that came out from the stomach of the fish. It was such a diamond, that time, the king of that time had announced that if somebody finds this diamond, immediately come to me, and in return for that, I'll give you lots of wealth if you find that diamond. So he didn't know what. He went with that diamond, he went to the jeweler, he said, what's the value of this? He said, oh, you silly man, the king announced for this diamond, go straight to the king and present this diamond to him. He's looking for it. So he went to the king, he arrived there, he said, I've found this diamond that you're looking for. The king said, this is what I needed. He said, as much money as you want, take it. Wealth. So, mashallah, he was a poor person. He didn't know about wealth. He became so wealthy. What his father said, there's barakah, blessings in this. Then he attained that barakah, the blessings. Alhamdulillah. So the pious elders tell us these stories. Some of them from the narration are correct and in order for us to learn from. So this is the reality, my friends. This example, that is a good life in which the life has blessings. That food is good in which there's barakah. Everything, whatever there is in life, in your life, to this extent that even if a person buys a car, you should put the hand on the roof and do the dua for barakah. If you get married, then do dua. Put your hand on the forehead of the wife and do dua for barakah in your marriage. In other words, everything, it is lazim, must, that the human being, what do we need to do? We need to do prayer for barakah. So when you see in your life that there's a loss being felt, that your business is not flourishing, your life affairs are not good, your house, your family, there are problems, your children aren't correct, there's some issue, then consider in reality, there's no cure for this. There's only one cure, that there's no barakah in this part of life. Blessings. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So remember this point. Very important point this is, that in your life, barakah will give you the fulfillment of life. Now the next question arises, that to get blessings, what action shall we do to earn blessings? Say subhanAllah. Yeah, so you've now understood the importance of barakah. So how do we acquire the barakah? What formula do we use? Many people, they say, tell me a wazifa, tell me a prayer, tell me. There's one wazifa, and that is barakah, blessings. Blessings. So how do we acquire that? That when I work, I get blessings in my job. Whatever action I'm carrying in my life, how do I get blessings in that? Barakah. How do I get barakat? So, will it come through worship? No. You need worship in your... You need barakah in your worship. If there's no barakah in your salah, then there's no value. If there's no barakah in your Quran recitation, there's no good effect of that Quran. You need barakah in your Quran. You need barakah in your salah. So, salah won't give you barakah because you need barakah in your salah. You understand? So, you also need barakah for salah, for reciting the Quran. So, barakah is a separate thing. It's a separate value. How do we get it? Where will we attain it from? Allah Ta'ala, what door has Allah opened to earn? Which door shall we knock on so we can get a good amount of barakah in our life? Do you understand what I'm saying? So if barakah comes, then alhamdulillah, even everything will be acceptable. Poverty, hunger, with ease you will live your life smoothly if you get barakah. With ease you will live your life smoothly. No poverty, no worries, no distress, because barakah has come into your life. Happiness. Barakah is such a thing that it increases and multiplies and broadens the life of a person. Barakah, it extinguishes big diseases, illnesses. Barakah. Blessings. So how do we attain the blessings and the barakah? How do we acquire this? There's a very great method Allah has told us. If I tell you, then you'll say, oh, I knew this. But why? Because today, if we look in our lives, if we look at the ummah, our nation, the Islamic nation, look around the conditions of the Muslims around the world, that is there 56 Muslim countries, Islamic countries, mashallah, they're rich countries, money and wealth, but what are we lacking? Say it. What are we lacking? Barakah. Blessings. Why are we wretched? What's the reason? Say it. No barakah. Everything we've got, material. It's not we don't have. We've got money, we've got technology, brains, we've got wealth, we've got mal, we've got science, research. We've got so much mal that in a second we can buy everything, innit? Yeah, there's nothing we can't buy in the world, isn't it, with the wealth. We've got populations. We've got quantity of people. There's no lack in populations. Everything is there. What are we lacking? Now you understand the point. You understand the point I'm making? So you know we say, oh, there's a problem in the world, this is happening. Oh, in Islam, we are suffering. Look at our conditions. Then straight away, clear cut, the solution will come. What is it we're lacking? That barakah has evaporated from us. Barakah. This is the same Qom, the nation of the Muslims, the same Salaf or pious predecessors that read the same Quran. They said the same Kitab. So what is it that they have? Yes, when they pass away, our pious elders, then mashallah, people would say salam to them. Whatever direction they took, in that direction the barakah would go with them, our pious elders. This was the same people. But today we advanced. At that time there was no advancement, no technology. Yes, and if we look at society and happiness in every situation, alhamdulillah, our pious elders were at the heights. Their lifestyle, their conduct, their manners, their ibadat, their worship, their love for each other, their sincerity. Yeah? Everything was present in their lives, quality of life. Even if they had differences between each other, they had love at the same time. But today we have fasad. So much fasad, so many sects and groups. And in one masjid, five different types of people. In one saf, we have 10 different ideologies. He's got this ideology, this jamaat, this group, that group, enemies. We're hating each other. In the same saf, in the same masjid, in the same masjid, behind one imam we pray, and we have different thoughts and ideologies and enmity and differences. What's the reason? We have one Quran. We have one Qibla. What is we lacking? What is it? What is it we're lacking? Barakah. The blessings. Do you understand and accept what I'm saying? Or am I forcing you to understand? You don't understand what I'm saying? This is the reality. Because we've got everything. If you say, no, this ain't the reason. We've got money. We've got money. We've got population. We've got everything. So what is it we don't have that we are in this bad situation? There's only one thing. And we are losing the soul of what we should have. The soul, which is barakah. We've got the Kaaba, we've got Medina, Haram Sharif, we have money, population, millions of people go for Umrah, millions of people go for Hajj. When you go to Hajj, you'll see there's no space to sit, no space left. Go to Arafat, Arafat is full to the brim, Arafat, no place to put your body. But what is there not present? No barakah, no blessings. Those people who came before, what did they have? They had blessings in the olden times, the previous decades and centuries. They had barakat. And as the time progressed, barakat diminished. So what is barakah, blessing, in actual fact? How can a person acquire this in life? Very small hadith that I will share with you. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, he narrates his hadith, very famous hadith, and you'll understand it. And Jabir radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just one part of the hadith I'll share with you. Khairi hadi, hadi Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said this in this part of the hadith. Do you understand the point? That the best path is whose path? The path of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the hadith. Khairul hadi, hadi Muhammad. In other words, hadi, barakah. Khair. This is hadith, mishkat. That the best, the path of khair, goodness, blessings. If you want blessings, there's only one path method. That source where you will attain barakah. And what is that source? Khairul hadi, hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the source. When the ummah, the nation of the Muslims, leaves their path now and takes that path, then they'll have population, they'll have money, they'll have all the assets of the world, they'll have all resources. But if they leave this path, because they've left the path which is the path of khair, which is the path of barakah, they'll have all the barakah will evaporate from them straight away. They've got a house, they've got children, money, wealth, but what don't they have? They don't have barakah. Why? Who's in that house? The Holy Prophet ﷺ's path is not evident in the house. No tariqah, no sunnah in that family. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of the barakat blessings Allah has instilled in what? In the holy practice of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah taba. Yes, there's no tax on the Muslims. This is not a burden. This is not strictness. Today the ummah has made it strict. We, the ummah, We say it's too strict. The Muslims have shunned the sunnah today. They think it's too hard. They think it's a burden. They think it's difficulty. We have split the deen, the sunnah. Sunnatul huda, sunnatul this. Just so we can get rid of it. Astaghfirullah. Yeah? So we can make excuses. We've split the sunnah into thousands of levels. Oh, we don't need to do this. Oh, you don't need to do this. Oh, this was old fashioned. We don't need to do this. If you take any sahabi, he had no method like this practice. That if the Prophet said something, and he said, and this is the barakah, the sahaba said, we will do it this way. The noble companions. When we eat food, the most important physical function of a human being in life is what? What's the most important part of the day? To eat. To eat. Physically. Because when you eat, your body is sustained, revitalized, it's nourished. It's important, isn't it? To eat food. To get energy. So when we eat, then your body is functioning, the blood is formed, then the blood flows through the body, then the organs of your body work. If you don't eat, then obviously if you're fasting by the evening, you're down. Because physically there's no energy. And your organs start to slow down, and your eyes get weaker and looks a bit dim. And it's difficult to speak with the tongue because you don't feel like it, because you don't have the energy. So until food doesn't go into the human being, then everything works when he's eating. Correct? So there are two types of eating. One is eating the khair way, and one is eating the non-khair way. Say subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying? There are two types of eating, ways of eating. There are two types of dress. When you wear clothes, there are two parts. One is the libas of khair, and one is the libas without khair, without goodness. Dress, attire. Take any part of your life, you can split into two ways. One is khair and goodness, and one is without khair. Which is the path of khair, goodness? That will become khair if you do the action according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the barakah and the blessings will come in that action you're doing. And if you do the action against the sunnah, away from the Prophet's example, then it's without barakah. There will be no blessing in action. Any action of your life, sleeping, drinking water, taking off your clothes, wearing clothes. For this reason, any prophet in history, you won't see the examples, minutest details of their life, practicalities, the amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated, shared and showed the tariqah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah demonstrated it, shared it, got it recorded and distributed it around the world. You will see no detail of any prophet before that. Why? Because this was Allah's wisdom. So that the ummah, the Muslims, who are the final ummah, the final nation, the highest nation, we are called. And the Quran has told us, Allah has told us, we are the most superior ummah. There is one reason for this, because Allah gave us the method. Wa ma ta'aka Rasul, Allah says, the way to do this is easy. That whatever the Prophet keeps giving to you, take it. Absorb him. Whatever he tells you to stop, then stop doing that. Yes, as long as a human being follows this formula, take what he gave you and leave what he prohibited. If you grab that formula, alhamdulillah, your life will be full of goodness and blessings. Full of goodness and blessings. One, you don't have to do it just for a specific day or time or action. Why? Because anything you do in your life, there's nothing A to Z from birth to death. There's nothing in your life that you cannot get the guidance from the sunnah. The sunnah is present. It's alive. The Holy Prophet, every action of his life was nothing was hidden from his life. Even his home affairs, private affairs were exposed. With his wives, how he treated them, his life with his wives. Private affairs. Through every companion, noble sahabi, he demonstrated and made apparent his actions. In every field of life, he physically demonstrated how to do A, B, C, D, E. Is this not the case? Every part, amalan, practically, Allah protected it in the form of hadith, and Allah shared it with us today, in this day and age. And the people who teach the hadith, they have become the greatest a'imma, scholars. Is this the case or not? For which reason? For this reason, that we people today on planet Earth, we can make our lives good. Don't waste your life. We've come to planet Earth to make our hereafter. And to make your hereafter, goodness will only come clear cut, crystal clear. The Holy Prophet said, Khairul Hadi, Hadi Muhammadun Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The best sleeping is if you sleep in the way of the Prophet. The best eating is if you eat in according to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way. The best marriage and married life is according to the tariqah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the best. Any action in your life, wedding, marriage, engagement, whatever, traditions, cultures, whatever you do, do it. But if it's against the sunnah, the way of the Prophet ﷺ, then forget that action. Forget it, that you can forget that there'll be goodness in that. It will only invite azab and punishment. Yes, your life is very short, 70, 80 years. And somewhere or other along the line in your life, that action will bear fruit, the negatives. Somewhere along the line, the negatives of not following the sunnah will become, oh, I did this mistake, and I did against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and today I'm seeing my children, the fahash, immodesty, my business is downhill, or today I'm seeing a loss. The result definitely comes, sometimes it's delayed, sometimes it's quick. But behind that, there's one reason, remember, that that person during that moment of his life, he lived against and away from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ for some part of his life. So important is the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The Quran says, the Quran, وَمَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. Allah says, that what a great statement. Allah says, the obedience to the Prophet is as if you've obeyed Allah. In other words, Allah's put the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ first in this verse. Clear cut. People say it's not fard, wajib. Allah says, don't worry about fard, wajib. Close your eyes and run after the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Close your eyes. And you will get lots of results from that. That's why Allah's Nabi ﷺ said that my companions are like the stars that are sparkling in the sky. Whichever star you follow, you will get the guidance. If he's my companion, my sahabi, and you obey that sahabi, close your eyes and follow him. Because there were more than 100,000 sahaba, every one of them, if you follow them, you will find the guidance. So there's no question of leaving. There's no question. So vast and clear and broad Allah has made it, because khair will come into our lives. Barakat will come into our lives. Blessings will come. In other words, any action you take in your life, any action in your life, then first ask yourself a question, that how did the Prophet ﷺ do this? What's the instruction of the sunnah? We close our eyes and we will do that. There will be benefit upon benefit. And what you run after glowing things, shiny things, sparkly things in the world against the sunnah. That's why we're in the situation in the world today. No one is satisfied in the world today anyway. I'll tell you this now. No insan, that if he's got the results, definitely negative come in his life. Definitely if he doesn't follow the sunnah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? Yes, we say reasons are the root cause for the fail is this, I did this wrong, Muslims are suffering in our houses, there's no, someone's done black magic, evil, sorcery, exorcism, why is there fighting, my children are disobedient, he do this. No reason whatsoever, there's only one reason for our problems, because did you adopt the path that Allah said that this is the path of blessings, which is the path of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To this extent, that imagine here, that if you even go to the toilet to relieve yourself, then make it a way of goodness. Go in the same way to the toilet like the Prophet ﷺ instructed us. He taught us. Does anyone in the world today give their children education? I go to the toilet and we open eyes and throw our children, drag them into other lifestyles which give no benefit at all. There's this destruction and ruin. That's all we are. That's all we are. Why? Because we've come here and we become blind. We become mad. That salah is not salah. That khair salah will be that salah which is completely prayed in the way of sunnah, in your form, your appearance, your face, your libas, your dress, your clothes. You're coming to worship, you're coming to prostrate to Allah. Yes? So if you say, for example, something, if I say this, people give fatwa, there's a problem. No one's ready to or willing to accept this fact. Today our situation is that at this point, no one's prepared to accept, no one's prepared to listen. I'll say, oh, what's this backward, what you're saying, too strict. They say that you're too fundamentalist and extreme. They say you're too mad when you talk. And Allah says, khair, goodness. Allah says, khair is in the way of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُكُمْ. Whatever my Prophet gives to you, then take it. Take it. What does it mean that whatever he gives you? In other words, whatever tariqah method he prescribed to you of doing an action, you understand what I'm saying? That any action, whatever action, when you get married, then get married like I got married, the Prophet, and give the dowry like I gave the dowry, said the Prophet. If you want to do walima, wedding feast, then do the feast like I did the feast. If you want to give mahar dowry, then give the dowry like I gave, said the Prophet. If you want to celebrate something, then celebrate the way I celebrated, said the Prophet. Khair upon khair, barakah, blessings. And the children that are born after that, and the wealth that you accrue, blessings upon blessings. But there's nobody who wants to accept this. Such a great guide and source of light Allah has given to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody, you want to run a business, enterprise, you want to travel, and any facet of life, no one pays attention to the sunnah. Nobody even thinks about the sunnah. So take the guidance. Oh, let's do this. Oh, these people are good. Oh, follow them. Do this. Follow that formula. Listen to this person. Listen to that person. Forget all of this. Result? Result is zero or minus. This is what makes haram. This gives us imitation. This gives us destruction. And from this, the human being, all sins and criminality, all emanates from when we don't follow the guidance of the sunnah. So we've made our limits in life. No, yaar, I've just prayed salah, do umrah, become a scholar, become a hafiz, etc. And where's the goodness in this? There's only goodness in one thing in life. Goodness is only in one thing. Everything you've made, alim, scholars, hafiz in your family, children, but if they don't imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they're animals. That person is worse than animal if he doesn't imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, even his education learning is gone because he'll do other actions. Then he'll go in a position where he's learned the ilm, the knowledge, he's practicing against it. He's disrespecting the sunnah. One is the person who doesn't know, who doesn't have knowledge, and he hasn't tried to learn or read or acquire knowledge to practice. Yes, yeah, so he's an ignorant. But despite having ilm and knowledge, and a person opposes the sunnah in life, then he's against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what's the punishment for that person to know? What's the punishment for that person? Who has the knowledge and he refuses to practice. Alladina min qablikum. Allah says, Samud and Adun. Allah gave the example of Qawmi Ad. The previous nations were Lut and Qawmi Ad and Thamud. What happened to these people? Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. What happened to these people? I said, tell me what happened to these previous nations. What these nations did. The Quran tells us that when I sent my Rasul, my Prophet to them, to guide them, when I sent my Rasul or Prophet to the previous nations, why did I punish them after? For which reason Allah says did I punish them? Allah said, when I sent my Prophet for guidance to those people, what did they do? Those people? Yes? Allah says, they put their hand on the face of the Prophet. He said, be quiet. Don't tell us. What are you teaching us? They said to their Prophet. They shunned him. What direction are you taking us in? They said, we don't accept what you're saying. No, you are fundamentalist, backward. Don't tell us, oh, we don't want to accept what you're saying. Three nations, Lut, Ad, Thamud, Allah says. Alladina min qablikum, the nations that came before you. What was their crime? Allah says, this was the source of their destruction. Why are we being told this? Allah says that you are the ummah of the head of the prophets, the Prophet Muhammad. What did the previous nations do? They opposed Tawheed and Risalat. The oneness of Allah and the Prophet. They didn't believe Allah. And they didn't believe in their Prophet. They didn't obey their Prophet. And today what have we done? What have we done as Muslims? We are doing the same action. We don't believe in Allah. We don't believe in the Prophet. We believe in the Prophet the way we want to believe in the Prophet. We obey the Prophet. Yes. He says you are wrong. He says you are wrong. And we're arguing and quarreling over practice. We're deviated. Rasul is one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one. The Quran is one. Sunnah is one. How many sects and groups do we have? Yes? What's the reason for this? For this reason, because we have discarded the Sunnah. We have discarded the instruction of the Sunnah. So Shaitan has split us into many groups. This is bidati. He's innovation. He's a kafir. He's a mushrik. He's a bidati. He's an innovator. And weird names we give to each other. Weird. Just to criticize each other. And our Prophet is one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we believe in him, all of us. And his path is the one path. So my brothers, most important, the discussion we're having today, I'm repeating again. If we don't understand this, nor do we have dunya, nor do we have akhirah. If we take hold of imitation and obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah guarantees your world, your hereafter, this world, the world to come, the grave, every phase of life, Allah says, I guarantee you, if you obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until paradise, I will save you or elevate your status. We don't need to do anything else as Muslims. We don't need to do anything else, just one target keep in your life, daily. What is that target? Nothing else. Imitation and obeying the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't need to be ashamed of this. You don't need to submit to anyone else for this. You don't need to run away from this. Nor do you need to be afraid or scared. I'm alone, no one's helping me. Don't be scared at all. Don't be scared. Allah says, promises, fasad will come. Hardship will come. There'll be hardship of money, mal, wealth. You don't have it. There's only one fasad in the world. And what is that fasad? Allah says that my Prophet sunnah will be killed off. And when the sunnah will be rejected, then Allah says, I will make that ummah lose. They'll become wretched. They'll be split up. They'll be split up. Their name and their respect will be down at the bottom. Allah says, I don't need such believers. Allah says, I don't need such believers. This is a message of the Quran for us. This few days of life is a game. Tell me, today. Today, after Ramadan, how many days have passed after Ramadan? Is it the second week now? We're into? Do we know how quick the fast the time is going? When did Ramadan come? It went. What's happened after that? Now we're getting ready for the next month. This is just like a dream, the life. The life is just like a dream. It's vanishing quickly. After some days, then you'll meet another person, you'll see a change. Oh, your hairs have become white, and oh, your face is wrinkled and getting old. The changes come to the life physically for a person. But the deception of life, the fruit of this world, so strong is the fruit of this world that the time to come, the azab, the punishments, my brothers, assess your life, keep one basis. I'm with you as well. I'm with you in this as well. Just keep one basis for success, that every action we do, what does the way of the Prophet tells me how to do this action? X, Y, Z. End of story. How do you learn that? Very easy. Very easy. For this, there's no debate, because we are in the era generation of fasad. We are in the Dajjal generation now. In this, there are lots of arguments. We don't have time for this. You look for one proof. That do you get the proof, agreement of any sahabi? And better than that is a great thing. The best and great source of learning and understanding today, what is that? The Qunu Ma'as-Sadiqeen, Allah says in the Quran. Qunu Ma'as-Sadiqeen. The go and find company, seek good company, those people who are sincere. And until Qiyamah, Allah says, I'll promise, the Prophet won't come again. But the followers and the lovers of the Prophet ﷺ will continue to come to the world. And there's only one sign of the lover of the Prophet ﷺ, as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she taught us this. She said, love a person and have the company of those people who have one lifestyle, one practice. And the people in the world will recognize him from that sign. And there's no other sign in. No sign of ilm, no sign of hadith, no sign of speeches, conferences. Just one action. Look for the sign in a person who is a pious person. And that is that good sign that will take you to the hereafter and success. And what is that? And you need to follow that good sign in that person. That good trait, that good quality. What is that? Whether you find that person in the north or in the south. And if you don't, then there'll be Firauns in the world at that time. And you will wake. If you don't follow good people and take good company, Allah says, you may die and rise up as a person, as a mushrik. Allah's warning was, if you leave the qualities of the good person, if you leave the company of the good person, oh no, no, let's go after other people who do magic and evil. The Dajjal will do this most of all. When he comes, he will give full power, he will make Jannah, he'll kill people, he'll put them back to life, he will take life from people, because he can demonstrate the magic. But one action he can't do, Dajjal, and that is the false liar person. He will never follow the sunnah, the false person. He'll never follow. It's a very simple formula to identify who is on the right path. And the person on the right, the haq, he won't do any other action under the sun. He'll have no relationship with anything in the world. He'll only do one action in his life. He'll obey the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That will be his sunnah. So great a revolution in the world came. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, after 1,000 years of the Prophet ﷺ, the world saw and witnessed the revolution at that time. In India at that time, 1,000 years after the Prophet ﷺ, and history bears testimony to this, the 1,000 years, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that 1,000 years after me, and from hadith we get this proof. There are hadith on this as well. And that nobody came. And he was given the title Mujaddad al-Afthani. Mujaddad is a person who revives the Islam. Not brings a new deen, but he revives the deen. When the deen is diminishing and it's dying out, Allah Ta'ala sends the wali to the world to revive the deen, Islam. He's a Mujaddad. That's the title. What else is a Mujaddad? He doesn't bring a new Quran. He doesn't bring a new hadith. He doesn't create a new tafsir. He doesn't give new speeches. Mujaddad is that person, when the sunnah is dying out, when the deen is dying out, he revives the deen. He revives Islam. He is given the title Mujaddad. And after many each century, Mujaddad comes. But after 1,000, he did the work after 1,000 years of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he was given the title Mujaddad Al-Aftani. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Faruqi Sarhandi Rahmatullah Alayh. He was given the title by all scholars, Mujaddad Al-Aftani. The reviver of Islam after 1,000 years. Because at that time, there were Muslims, there were scholars, there were ulema, but there was a new deen that they created. Just like we are today, Muslims from India, Indian subcontinent, most of us from India, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, all was one continent before. Yes, so after that they split the countries up, they'll carry on splitting and breaking up the countries. Yeah, but if we look back in the history, for a mu'min, every piece of land, wherever he's living in the world, is the same rules apply. So don't follow geography that we're living here, we can't practice deen. Yes, a Muslim, for example, he closes his eyes, doesn't matter where he goes in the world, he can practice his deen wherever he is in the world. In the whole world, he can rule and have the leadership because this is Allah's deen. Yes, so Allah says that the deen can be practiced and spread across the whole world. So, at that time, the king at that time, 1,000 years, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Christians, the Muslims, the people without religion, they all came into one platform, new religion, new kalima, people started to worship him. The king at that time, Babur, Akbar, the king at that time, there were learned people, hafiz of Quran, scholars, that there were those same people, he would give Fajr Azan at that time. He himself was learned, the king, Akbar at that time, yes. And he was the muazzin of his own masjid. Yes? And not just for 1 or 2 years, his whole life he's a scholar. And then he started to put restrictions on the deen. He brought his own rules in. He brought his own deen in at that time. Why? Because people started to leave the sunnah slowly. To this extent that he changed, he went towards kufr. He didn't follow Islam. He made a new deen. Someone's worshipping the sun or animals. And he's reciting his own kalima, making people worship him. So the deen was finished off. Totally finished. It was totally, the deen had changed at that time. Islam had changed. Subhanallah. Then Allah Ta'ala revived the deen of Islam. Who came? Mujaddad al-Aftani. The Mujaddad after 1,000 years. How many people were they? There's only one scholar needed. Only you don't need a whole group of people to reform the society. Remember this. That person who wants to reform, even he's just one on his own. As a Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti was one on his own when he revived the deen. As a Data Ganj Baksh Ajweri was just one on his own. Mujaddad al-Aftani was just one on his own at that time. There wasn't many of them, droves of them, and they changed and we need this many scholars. No, if he's on the haq, the truth, the scholar, he is so strong, so elevated, that nothing can oppose him, the strength of the true scholar. And he doesn't know how to speak and give comments, just his truth speaks. So as a Mujaddad, do you think he gave speeches, did he have speakers or publicity or adverts or magazines? No, he didn't have publicity. It just his practice was the publicity, alhamdulillah. He went into jail. He was punished. And a person to stand and challenge their king. You think Zamani thing? Can you stand today? Can you stand today? Yes. Only that person can stand who is related to that bloodline. Only that person goes in the jail and he revives the sunnah. Even today he's the same person in the same lineage. Even today he's the same person, my brothers. Remember this. Yes, he doesn't wear bangles and give up. Yes, he doesn't know how to wear the bangles. Even today, the person of the haq will go in jail. Even today, the person who speaks the truth will be disobeyed. Everyone else will run away, go into the cracks because they're scared. Then they'll come out of the cracks afterwards. Then they'll become sheikhs again afterwards. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani, mashallah, he was there. And today, you see the effects of that. Islam is in the Indian subcontinent. Muhaddith. As Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delhi, he wrote, Shah Wali Allah Delhi, he was from that same era. He said, if Mujaddad didn't come, then Islam could not have been revived. Why? Because it was Allah's will. Allah Ta'ala sent the Wali to the world to revive the deen. So what did he revive at that time? He revived the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in such a way, he revived the style of the sunnah and Mujaddad al-Aftani. There was nothing else that he had that he could show. This was the greatest karamat he had at the time, the greatest miracle. The very big Shia came at that time to meet Hazrat, and he came to Sarhand Sharif. And he had high level, Wali Allah, and he had Kashf, And the hal overcame him, he became sort of passionate after he saw Mujaddad. When the hal came, he's such a great wali Allah, he had emotion and feeling. When he moved, then the earth under him started to shake. Yes, and Hazrat Mujaddad was sitting there as well. Because that was his karamat, that shaykh. He wasn't some minor wali Allah. And soon as he moved, then the earth started to move. Because of his passion for the deen. Then Hazrat Mujaddad al-Uthani, what did he do? He said to his colleagues, that bring my miswak, bring the miswak, the sunnah. Say subhanallah. He said, bring the miswak. And he brought the miswak and he just knocked the miswak on the ground and the earth stopped shaking. And he, that shaykh who was sitting there, he said that, mashallah, the jazb and the earth was shaking, but the sunnah is so strong that it settles everyone down. It calms everybody down. So the sunnah always is stronger than everything. Remember this. The sunnah always will overwhelm everything. A unique statement of Hazrat Sa'd, that Allah gave me so much strength that, you know, the graveyard in front of me, that I'll give hukam, then all the diseased people will come out of the graves. Because the walis of Allah, Allah gives them the strength. Hazrat Mujaddad said this. But he said, that's nothing. He said, the true power is to follow the sunnah. The miswak is such a sunnah, the tooth stink, this toothache, that it will kill off all the kasr and the miracles that people present. The power that Allah has instilled in the sunnah practices, no other practice has power that can compare to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. No one can stand in front of the sunnah. If the ummah today starts to follow the sunnah, the Muslims today, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Then we are just on the beard. The beard we are debating, so many groups, so the beard's not necessary, wasn't necessary. In the olden days, they didn't have blades, they kept the beards. And then it was all the tariqas of the prophets, of some, there's so many debates today, useless. You'll be amazed at what nation, what believers are these? What nation is this? What qawm is this? What believers are this? Where we stood today? In other words, one sunnah, we're not even agreed on the sunnah. Just one thing we say, no, 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 it's not too hard. We're living in a new generation, modern era. Take this off, stop this sunnah, stop this sunnah, stop this sunnah. Stop everything. No doubt when you stop it, but you can't stop the sunnah. You can't blow out the candlelight with your breath. Yes, that power of light, Allah Ta'ala has lit that light, will continue till Qiyamah. You can't blow it out with your breath. The Holy Prophet Muhammad SAW, his light of his sunnah can never be blown out. Nurun wa kitabun mubin. Allah says, Nurun wa kitabun mubin in the Quran. The sunnah is nur. You can't blow it out. Allah says, I sent a nur and I gave the kitab. And Allah's Nabi SAW said, the Prophet, the two things I leave with you, Muslims, two things I leave with you. And if you take hold of both things, they're both light for the ummah. He said, I leave two things. He said, my practice, and one is my kitab, the Quran. And if you take both lights, then no power of the world can deviate you if you take both, Quran and the Sunnah. But we, practicing the Sunnah, we start to find excuses and evil, you know, desires, and we force others not to do this. Yes, hopefully we want to become pious in our lives and good people and good Muslims. We have these good desires. Yes, but you can never your whole life have a life of blessings. Your marriage will be without blessings. Any life, any part of your life which is against the sunnah, I guarantee you 100%, I can put my hand on the Quran and say the result will be minus, and it will be shown a very poor result will come out. With your eyes you will see the result of the action. I can put my hand on the Quran, my iman, my yaqeen says that if you don't follow the sunnah, any field of your life you do an action against the sunnah, then before you do the action, if you didn't refer to and assess the sunnah, that should we do this or not? Thus, if you bypass all the sunnahs, even though you shaykh and you believe in him, but when it comes to the dunya, then we don't even decide, there may not be that, well, he gives a decision against me. Oh, it's okay, I'll do this and we see afterwards what happens. Do we do this or not? Tell me. Never do we do mashra or consult with the wali Allah. We're scared if he says don't do it, don't know there'll be a problem for me. Oh, then my business will go downhill. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do this. Just every way of whom I go do this. If I get mashwara, consult to a pious person. If he says, don't do it, it's against the sunnah, then how will I do that? So we're scared we don't consult, and we don't do that. We do the action, but I swear by Allah, that the result of the action definitely will come in the world. Mu'min, believer, one person who calls himself a Muslim, and without following the tariqah, by imitating the sunnah of the Prophet, he's like a dummy. He's like a dummy. You know, like you take a toy. If you take a toy, and in that toy you don't put the battery, it just stands still, motionless. Put the battery, then the car starts driving, the child is happy with the toy. Yes, the first thing the child says, when you give the toy, when he sees the toy, my children, they used to do this, if you give the child a toy, then they say, have you put the battery in this toy or not before you gave it to me? Have you put the battery? Is there life in this toy? Even the child, mashallah, is understanding. They give me a car remote and it's not driving. What's the point of giving me this? So the first ask, is there battery in this? Have you transferred the battery? Yes, I put the battery in. Yes, it will run this car with me. It will move. So the child, they have wisdom, but we don't have wisdom. We say that, oh, is this action without the sunnah? Okay, I'll do it this way. So according, we follow our akal, so-called wisdom. And akal, we think is very strong. Hey, yaar, I'll do this action. Let me use my brains or this technology, this benefit this way. There's only benefit in one action. Remember this? Even if you see loss in the action, even if in the action you see a loss or negative result, but I swear by Allah, there's no loss. It will give you a unique result. It's just a test from Allah. If according to the sunnah you're doing the action and shaitan is saying to you that there's a loss, then never will you get a loss in action. It's just temporary. Temporary. So great rewards in following the sunnah. Our dunya, hereafter, respect, title, fame, personality, money, business, enterprise, wife, children, house, family, outside, body, organs. Everything is related to barakah. And all barakah is in what action? Khairul hadi, hadi Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the guidance of the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand the point? Do you understand the point? So after today, swear to yourself, I will do no action which is in opposition to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I will never do any action. If you have a sheikh, he will tell you. Yes, we don't ever ask or consult from such an imam who encourages the sunnah. Yes, then if we don't do that, Allah Ta'ala's displeasure will come. Yes, because if you follow your brain and say, I'm following the path of khair and goodness, then where did our Nabi come? Well, Allah says, I sent him to you for khair, the guidance. And I said in the Quran that whatever my Nabi Rasul gives to you, take it. Whatever he prohibits, then leave it. Where's that gone? Never will you get the positive result. Best way of life is the tariqah, the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best way of life. And to follow this path, the best way to start practicing the sunnah is to find good company, to find a wali Allah. Because we're living in the generation of fitna, and the best wali Allah is that person who already is establishing the sunnah in his life. Even if he hasn't got ilm or hadith memorization or Quran, no, he's not a qari, he's not hafiz. But if he's regular in practicing the sunnah, he is the best human being. Best human being. End of story. He's got the whole knowledge of Islam. He can never be ignorant. Whoever's got sunnah is not an ignorant person in his life. He is the most brainy person. And brainy is that person who follows the right path. And the most foolish and stupid person, despite he has everything in the world, but he's following the wrong path. And he's taking other people down the wrong path. Wherever you don't get the sign of the sunnah, don't sit in that company. I'm telling you, we're in the day and age of fitna. Don't listen to that speech. Don't go to that scholar. Don't go to that society. Don't go to that masjid where the sunnah is discouraged, where the sunnah is shunned, where the sunnah is criticized, and where the sunnah is not spoken about. I'm telling you this clearly, honestly. Clearly. Why? Because if you slip in a fitna, then no power of the world will take you out of the fitna, and that will be Dajjali fitna. Dajjali fitna. And it will not benefit you at least 1%. Dajjal is not going to bring any new deen. Dajjal is only going to do one action when he comes to this world. He'll have a mati with only one thing. He will not allow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad to spread. He'll bring other alternatives. He'll criticize. He'll tell you show values against the sunnah. He'll put value on a lifestyle against the sunnah. He'll go everything against the Quran and the sunnah. This will be Dajjal. And what will he drop? He'll drop the tariqah of the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khairul hadiyah, the whole of goodness and benefit is in the sunnah. That Quran reading is a waste if you don't learn sunnah. That salah is a waste if you don't learn the sunnah. Every action, no worship is of value. There's only value in one thing, in imitating and following the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah. Simple, very clear, crystal clear point. If we are attached to the Prophet ﷺ, then we are attached to him. Uh-huh. This is it. What a great verse and poem of Ulama Akbar to prove this point. Someone said, in the morning you're something, in the evening you're something else. What's the reason? Then in the morning you're different, Akbar. And in the evening you're different, you speak with a different dialogue. What I'm saying in the night, he said in the night, I'm the real Iqbal. It was in the night, I'm not me myself, Allah Ta'ala invites me. He says, and he said, even though I don't want to say those words come from my tongue, he said that I can only give the lines that Allah Ta'ala enables me to speak. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's unique way and style, we can't recognize the hikmah and wisdom of Allah, the how Allah sends the message of the deen to the people. Yes, so can you get some value of this line, of this verse? Until today the great poets have passed, but nobody can recite such a line. That if you are attached to the Prophet, Allah says, I am yours. I am yours. And this is the reality of the whole Quran. This is the reality of the Quran, what the Quran is saying to us. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ لَفَتَّبِيُونِ يُحُبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah says this. In Surah Al-Imran, if you imitate my Nabi, then you are my beloved, and then everything in the world is yours. He says, if you become my beloved, Allah says, then everything in the world is yours. So Iqbal is saying the same. Iqbal is saying the same in this poem. So don't criticize him. He said this, he said that. No, we need to start our lives. How do we sleep? How do we wake up? How do we get up? How do I eat? How do I... Any action in life, there's no action in life that the Prophet has not guided us. If you carry on living your life like this, then barakah will continue to come in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So where will you get this from? We're in a very dangerous environment, society, and era today. A person's confused. Shall I practice? How long shall I keep my beard? Shall I wear this? Shall I wear these clothes or no? Shall I wear the turban or no? Shall I do this action or no? Is this permissible? Is this non-permissible? Is it a sin? One best method how to answer the questions. Qunu ma sadiqin. Sit with the people who know. Look for the pious people and just run after that person. And whether you will have no waswasa. Whatever the teacher is doing, follow the teacher. End of story. That's what I did in my life. That's what I did. And that was even the dangerous time some decades ago. It wasn't that far away. 60 years ago when I met my teacher, when I met my Hazrat Sahib. And after that, when I learned from him, no fatwa, asking questions, alim, no need to get any fatwas. All of the sunnahs I learned from my sheikh, my teacher. I looked at him closely and I used to write in the diary how he used to pray. He'd do sajda like this, action like this, he'd pray like this, he'd do this. I never said to my sheikh, which fiqh are you? Are you Deobandi, Brelwi, Ahlidi, Salafi? No need to ask anything. You are on the right path, whatever you're saying, doing my teacher is correct. That's it. No doubting, criticism. Yes, no power of the world, didn't matter what they said. I practice that today, the tariqah zikr, he told me I do zikr like that, whatever, recite, no power of the world, whatever comes in front of me, I will not move from that practice because I know it's the path of haq and truth and righteousness. Yes, and the clear sign that, mashallah, tens of thousands of people are following that same style of life today. Yes, that's a sign of the haq from my teacher, that they're following his teachings. So my brothers, correct your direction, realign your direction, yes. And how do you know that find a pious person, a wali Allah, and the sign of a wali Allah is that already he's practicing the sunnah? Seek for a person like that. So if you leave the guidance and you go to other people, then the person will rise as a mushrik after doing shirk because you're leaving the path of the sunnah and you're following another guideline. Or where you're either, if you're getting sunnah and deen from a sheikh, a teacher, why are you looking for other people? Did those other people get you close to Allah? No, I get prayers, recitations. If I do dua, my dua is accepted. My grandfather, parents, they all from that sheikh. And this is the person who's not following the deen. This is the mushrik who just runs blindly. It's lazim, essential. We have to, he's the sheikh, he's the peer, we have to run after him from our family. What sort of, it's not game, it's not a tradition, the deen. It's not a tradition. So, go, seek guidance. If you have a sheikh, and definitely if, for example, another person comes from his children, like Hazrat Mujaddad al-Uftani, from his children, Hazrat Khwaja Mausum came, and everybody, then the students took him as the sheikh. Definitely from the family, a righteous person comes, who follows the sunnah, and he revives the sunnah, and he's practicing the deen, then definitely he's a good person. Go to that person for guidance, and you can follow that person. But if that person's not practicing deen, not following the sunnah, doesn't have the tariqah of iman, then there's no point going to that person. Then that's shirk. Yes, that's called idol worshipping, you could say, or personality worshipping. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everything is crystal clear where you should get the guidance from. Here in the deen, that for example in the world we give big titles, do this business, do this enterprise, buy this, sell this. MashaAllah, all day long we give advice. When it comes to Islam, oh no, 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 don't go to that person. No, no, he's too strict, he's too extreme, he's following the sunnah. So now you're using the brain for the deen. And we get scared and afraid and we're trembling when practicing the deen. Whereas Allah Ta'ala has made it very simple, the deen of Islam. There's no simpler way than the deen that Allah says, follow my Nabi, imitate him, straightforward path. That's it. Whatever fitna comes, then to make a friendship with that person who's following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Make friendship with those people. Get the guidance from those people. And they will keep you on that path and keep imitating them and keep following them. But today, the objective of our discussion today is the most important thing in our life is what? Barakah, blessings. To summarize today's discussion. And barakah is the most important thing that we're missing in our life. And where will barakah come from? Imitating the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Any action you do according to the sunnah will come with barakah. If you don't do that, if you stand and eat, no barakah. If you're eating haram, just like you're eating the mouse or the cat, if you sit and you eat according to the way the Prophet ﷺ sat and ate, Allah gives a guarantee that shaitan will not join you in that meal. Second point, the biggest thing we see is that where do we go? Where does the food go? The food, like I discussed earlier, the food goes into the stomach. Isn't it? The food that you eat. What comes when the food goes in the stomach? Then it gets digested. Then the blood is formed. Where does the blood go? It goes through the veins. It makes your hand, your eyes, your breath, your mouth, teeth. Everything functions with the blood. Because the energies come into those parts of the body. The vitamins, the nutrients, the proteins with the food. This is happening vitamin A, B, C, D. And the whole body parts, the organs, the hands, the face. If your food, if you eat it in accordance to the sunnah method. If you earn it properly and you eat it properly. Then that food will fulfill such a role that after eating that food you will never commit a sin. Guaranteed 100%. You will never leave salah. After eating that food, you will run to the masjid. You will run, and you will run towards salah. And you will start to teach your children. And you will, if you feed your children according to the sunnah, mashallah, your children will be pious. Very easy, no lecture, speech, no forcing them. Earn halal earnings. And mutashababinuhum, according to the sunnah, your food, and sit down. Just like the Prophet ﷺ taught his tariqah, sit down, eat according to the sunnah way, sunnah method. Not this, that someone's leg is on this. There are three ways of sitting. Three ways of sitting in the sunnah way. Eat with your hand, not with knives and forks and spoons. Use your fingers, lick your fingers after eating. Then after that, wash your hands. After washing the hands, then clean. How to clean and wash the hands? What hand first, which hand next? You need to clean the hands or not before, clean them after. So all tariqas, the Prophet ﷺ has taught us how to do things. Yes, you can't mix it up. That, for example, did he wash hands after eating? No. That, for example, this washing hands before eating and that washing hands after is separate. There's barakah in both. They're separate. Allah's Nabi said that even lick the plate because you don't know which portion Allah has instilled the barakah blessings. And if you miss that blessing, then you lose all the blessings of your food. So does anyone practice this? No. No, that's why we are wasting. We think about haram, our eyes look towards haram, our mouths say haram, we swear at people, always talking nonsense talk, shaitani talk, salah we're praying, thinking, I don't know why I'm thinking other things, I'm doing actions. Why? For this reason, because the main part of your life, the sunnah, if you do actions against the sunnah, the food and your way of eating makes your blood, then all of your body parts become disobedient. Say subhanAllah. And this is common in Allah's way. Oh, eating, sitting down, licking the fingers, oh, it's too backward. That's the old ways. We don't want to do that, we say today. But the Sahaba did this. They sat in the court of the king. And the Sahabi, his food fell on the floor. He picked it up and the other person said, what are you doing here? The king's watching. And he elbowed him, pushed him. He said, he's your king. But I'm imitating the king of the kings, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be quiet. He is the best king that I'm imitating. He's wearing torn clothes. He said he picked up the food from the floor and he blew it and he ate it. Subhanallah, eat with the hands and lick the fingers. Yes, the three fingers according to the sunnah. Lick them. Yes. Yes, read that book that we published, mashallah. Lick that book. Yes, is there a story in that book that we wrote? One page if you read it every day, practice it. The sunnah ways. Yes, but we have no desire. No passion. We don't even know. We'll only know when we're thrown in the grave. Is that when we're going to live? The sunnah. And for those people, double punishment. Those who are bayah, the pledge allegiance, they got shaykh, they haven't taken the benefit. They thought it's a game. Yukhadi'un Allah wa ladina amanu. Allah says that you cannot joke with Allah and nor can you joke with the person of iman or foolish people. You are spoiling your own self and destroying your own self. And you're not even aware that what will happen on the day of resurrection. Allah says that this favor I gave to you of the deen, how did you repay the favor? You are living in this land without no iman. Allah said, I prepared for you a person. I sent you a person to teach you deen. I sent him to spread the true deen. And majalis, gatherings I established for your tazkiyah, your purification. And you do haram actions ongoing. And you complain and make a fuss. For a few days, Allah says, my friends, just a few days. Those who reject the deen and think it's a joke and mock it and consider it a minor thing, it's an option, then their hashr will be very severe hereafter. Very severe hereafter. Yes, there's three types of people. One is a disbeliever, one is a hypocrite, one is the person in between. So who are the disbelievers? About those Allah Ta'ala mentions clearly. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُوا. Those people, the Thamud, because they didn't believe in Tawheed, nor did they believe in the Prophets. So they disbelieved. And who are the Munafiqs? Those who say believe, but they don't practice. Ramadan comes, everyone's Muslim, masjid is full, Ramadan goes, not even the half the masjid is full. Is this iman? Is this iman? Ramadan, everyone opens the Quran. Everyone is a mu'min, mu'minat, believer, man and woman, transformed. Now where are they gone? Everyone's disappeared, the masjid. Oh, the angels are looking for everyone. Where's everyone gone? Yes, yes. And if they're not in the masjid now, you can see what they're doing. Yeah, the munafiqs, these are the real half and half. Yes, they came before and they disappeared. Because is this deen? Is this the name of deen? Subhanallah. These are those people who are punishing them. Allah says, they're not mu'mineen, they're not believers. They say they're believers. The Quran says in the first few pages, Allah explained and revealed all about the categories of people. Allah says, they will say we are believers. Kullun amana billahi wa malaikati. Allah says that they say, no, we are believers. But hereafter, few minutes before, there's something else. Next few minutes, there's something else. Ramadan, there's something. Next day, there's something else. The next week, there's something else. Allah says, they have no hisab. They have no steadfastness. So they say they are believers, but they're not. Yukhadi'un Allah waladeen amanu. Allah says, they are joking with Allah. And they joke with the believers. They joke, oh, give me bayah, give me bayah. What is bayah? Bayah, that pledging allegiance to the shaykh is you are connecting yourself to Allah. It's not a joke. Obviously, give him bayah. Think before you take the bayah, that which path are you adopting? Which journey are you going down? No, that when the person comes, no, when does he leave? Does he realize bayah? When you say, oh, I've got a problem, please, does the shaykh do dua? He's had a heart attack, give me taweez. This happened to the daughter, she's run away. What qawm is this? They are not, even the mushriks, disbelievers, do what we do today. Ungratefulness. Even they go in front of their idols and put milk in front of their idols every day. They have their belief. We have a shaykh, we have a teacher to seek the path. We only seek the path when we've got problems, when we're sick. Otherwise, we don't even know we've got connection with a good person and we've got teachings and a teacher. Rather, Allah's rahmah, mercy is that the wali Allah, when he comes to a person as a teacher, then it's the mercy of Allah. When the teacher goes, then the rahmah, it goes and the destruction comes. So he's a rahmah, mercy to the whole nation of the Muslims. A teacher, a wali Allah is a rahmah, is a mercy. He's a sign of Allah. He teaches deen. Which deen does he teach? The deen that today is being destroyed, the sunnah. He revives that, makes people understand. He makes people come awake. Summun bukmun umyun. They're sealed, their hearts, their ears, their bodies, their iman is gone. Somebody's got deen ekmadi, somebody's following a different deen. They make their own deen. Each and every one of us makes our own religion. Yes, and they have no other way. Allah, do this now, on this day do this, go on a march or go on a conference, you got Islam, or say this speaker, we are lovers of the Prophet. And apart from this, they have no understanding what is the deen. They have no knowledge. They have no awareness. So if Allah even gives them mercy and they get some guidance, then they, after a few days, shun it, they say it's not necessary. So the bayah, we should do bayah to improve ourselves. So we reform ourselves, improve our lives. No, we don't even think about improvement. Somebody gets bayah with a shaykh to run a khankah or to become a pious person or to show that he's righteous. Nobody has the feeling that I was deviated, I was on a path of darkness. Through the company of a good person, a shaykh, I need to come to the right path. Say subhanAllah. Yes, they don't even realize that I've got, Allah's given me the guidance, the company of wali Allah was deviated. Allah sent a person to guide us. I've got belief in him. I should learn deen from this person, Islam. No. Every one of us got our own ideology and work of the dunya. Just an dunya, benefit in the dunya, nothing else. So big azab is waiting, big punishments are waiting. You know these trades of the deen that are running, all the Muslim in front of us, that everyone's being punished around us. Everyone's Muslim. Yes, we're doing dua now. We're doing dua when there's no place to do dua. There's no place to do dua. Tell me, which place should we do dua? All those places, mamnoon, those places, mamnoon. The dua can't be even done there. Can't even say the name now of the place that you want to do dua for. It's mamnoon, prohibited. Tell me, so when such conditions arise, a person should think, the circumstances surrounding us, how do we get out of this darkness? Such worse scenario around us. There's only one solution. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take his sunnah firmly. You'll get success in this world, hereafter. The whole of coolness and the shade is in the way of the sunnah. Nothing else. Ittaba'i Rasul, forgiveness, tawbah. Two things are desperately we are needed. That you get from the company of the shaykh. Two things. Tawbah and dhikrullah. Repentance and remembrance of Allah. Two things. These two assets will complete your deen, my friends. That the two weapons Allah has given. Tawbah, repentance. The soon as you make a mistake, repent to Allah. And learn dhikrullah from a teacher. No dajjal fitna will affect you any time in your life if you do these two things. So don't think deen is a drama. That you've gone dambaya and you got the guidance of the shaykh. You've done tawbah for your hereafter. And if you make shortcuts, you try to play games, then Allah says the punishment is severe for that person. Very severe punishment for that person. I'm not an announcer. I'm not here as a speaker, nor do I have time for this. I'm just here to create a fikr, a concern for the hereafter. I was given the instruction by my teacher. I share that message with you. But remember this, you are responsible for your own lives. Remember this. So develop the fear of Allah. Develop the fear of Allah. One salik, a student, if he takes the hand of a teacher and then he goes against the Sharia and Sunnah, is it permissible in his life once he's become a student and he's led and he goes against that afterwards? When Allah Ta'ala gave him the guidance when he was in the darkness? He's in desperate need. He had no knowledge before that. He was in the darkness. So now if you've learnt, if you come onto the path of deen, then how can you take a U-turn after that? Then I'll accept haram as haram, halal as halal. Whatever Allah's, what you earned as haram against the Sharia Sunnah, throw it away. Throw it away totally like a scorpion, like a spider, dirty thing. Throw the haram away. Yes, we are in the era of fasad. May it do dua Allah Ta'ala protects all of us. Let's pray and may Allah enable us to practice on the right path. So the summary of today's discussion is we need blessings, barakah, and blessings, barakah will come from the style, lifestyle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. If you've taken the hand of a teacher, you'll have to answer for that tomorrow. You will never be saved if you do a U-turn. Allah will never leave that student. That what benefit did you get from your deen, from your life, from the person, your teacher that you learned? And what is the benefit of the deen that you took in your life? And the person who gives deen is that person, even if extremely ill. I sit for 4 hours. MashaAllah, people wait for me. Yes, 4 hours I sit, they come and learn the deen, I don't complain that I'm sick. Yes, I'm not lazy in this. I'm not lazy in this, I don't make no complaints. I'm not negligent. Anyone wants to learn the deen to me, with my heart and body, I will give my efforts to assist somebody. I'm never lazy in this. So why do you run away from the deen? Don't you have the fear of Allah? How long does it take for Allah to grab somebody? To punish somebody. How long? Just look how Allah shakes. Looks what's happened around today. Yes, that from inside that dry land, barren desert land, from inside there the water comes out. Yes, if that carries on, look at the Dubai there, the desert location where the water came out from the ground, rain, people who go there for holiday. We went to a holiday, the practicing thing, where are you going to Dubai for holiday? You're not ashamed? What bayah have you taken? You go into such places of sin in Shawwal, the holy month, yes, Shaban, Shawwal, and you're doing honeymoon with the wife and enjoying yourself, wasting your time. Yes, yes, from people from amongst you. Shopping trips. Well, after taking bayah, that does a person's life, does it even take a turn for the good, that he understands what is an action to earn the love of Allah? Even now you're going on holidays, even now you're following the life of lust and passion. 60 years old, 55 years old, you're still Dubai and the sea and you're messing around over there. I should be ashamed a little bit at least. Little bit of haya, modesty for your daughters and your wife. Can't you see the azab around us? The punishment? Where are we going? I'm going on holiday, Dubai. Yes, just to enjoy ourselves. I'm going here and there. Is this the era and day and age for holidays? Look at our brothers, the zulm that's happening to our brothers. They're being squashed and squeezed. The whole dunya is accepting today. They're immodest people and you just think about holidays? Your mothers and sisters, they're being squeezed and crushed. Are they not your mothers and sisters? And you're thinking about holidays? Are they not your blood? Your mother is dying, your brothers and sisters, the zina, adultery, they're being killed, the daughters, and you're going on holidays, even now you're thinking about holidays. What a bagharat and a shame, and a, no shame, Abakum. Allah's Nabi said, a Muslim is just like you are joined together, brothers. We are stuck together like one body, the Muslim Ummah. Yes, and you used to stand with khawf, you can't do prayer on the musalla, you can't give their name because of fear, we can't even name them. Yes, look at the son of the thief who stood there and he says, this Muslim, he looks like, he says, give us another leader, like they're spreading Islam because increase is among us. That person, the tarannum, the person who sings with the Quran, yes, he speaks like that. This is the iman of that person? Tell me. So big people stood in front of the Kaaba, the lead salah. Look at the iman of those people. Is there a bigger facade than this in the world? And look at our qawm, that their people are being killed and persecuted. We're going for holiday just a few miles away. It's only a few miles away that we see what's happening. My children are being beaten, shaheed. And you know, because they took money for haram, they goes on the haram path. They sat there 60 years old, enjoying a holiday. He says, I'm a Naqshbandi, he's got imam on his head. And he's got no shame, extreme of shame. Will there be no grabbing people for these actions? Remember, in the night, do you wake up and do dua for those people? Tahajjud, do you ever shed tears for our brothers and sisters? Have we thought about them? Any insan who's got shame, nobody knows, everyone's enjoying their life. Just charity, charity, charity. Any person, does he think? They don't need money, they need your duas and they need your repentance and tawbah. They are desperate for this and we are living our life without shame. But the tests are there. The Qawm e Thamud and Ad and the people before us, have we forgotten all of them? Why we get turned us up to the, we think we are pious and forgiven and there's no one more pious than me, like the people of Bolton are pious. We think we're pious. And have we ever cried? Have we ever had pity on our brothers and sisters? Have we ever done dua, sat in isolation, done dua for them? Tell me. Talk nonsense and rubbish, somebody says. Oh, to the extreme of nonsense. They say, oh, they're not Muslims, they don't practice today. It doesn't matter what you consider them, at least they've got iman. At least they're Muslims. At least they believe. Yes, but nobody cares. No one's ruh screams, we're eating, drinking, enjoying life, holidays, traveling, do this and do that. Is this our routine of life or not? Tell me. In your life part, is any part of life, any difference made from what we've seen? What we're witnessing? Yes, what if that situation comes here? What will we do then? Tell me. What will we do then? Are we waiting for that? Oh, servant of Allah, we can't do anything. At least you can raise your hands and do dua. Allah says that, Allah, I've got this asset and weapon that can do dua for my brothers and sisters. Does anyone remember dua kunut? Have you memorized it? Dua kunut? Nobody knows it. Have you waked up in the ninth tahajjud time for your brothers and sisters? Recite dua kunut for them. Do that. Just worried about yourself. Today after today, make it lazim, compulsory for your brothers. Do du'as for them. This all hisab, we have to answer for this because we don't follow the sunnah. Our hearts are dark like rocks, stones. We have no concern for our brothers and sisters. We have no relationship with them. There's no situation. Yes, you can say, you can fight and battle. Nothing, don't say nothing, do anything. Just at least do this minimum. Raise your hands and do du'a for them. That's what we need to do. Pray. Allah's not saying go on battle, fight and kill, etc. This is not the situation at all. No. We have the power at least that we can do dua and pray to Allah. Allah have mercy. Allah forgive our sins and have mercy on our ummah. Can't we do this minimum? We can't even accept this? Simple formula. There's no facade, fighting, quarreling, nothing in this. But we don't even do dua. Supplication. So in a very bad situation, very bad circumstances we're in. Dhikrullah, why do we do dhikrullah? Remembrance of Allah. Dhikrullah we do so we can improve our lives. It's because our hearts so they can become soft. And so we can start to practice the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's the only objective of doing dhikrullah. Until now, why our hearts are not soft? Why? From dhikr. Why? Why our hearts are not soft due to dhikr? Because so that the love of the Prophet ﷺ can come into our heart. That's why we do dhikr. We are so rock hard, our hearts, they're dark and black, our hearts. That apart from the dunya, we have no other consideration in our lives. Apart from dunya. In 1 second, a person's sketch of life can transform. 1 second. That nothing is difficult for Allah to do. Nothing is difficult for Allah to do. Nobody will ask after that when the hardships come. That's it. Just do one action. Do tawbah, repent, do dhikrullah, remember Allah. Whenever problems come, do dua for the Muslims, for the ummah, cry for them. Allah, remove the difficulty from them and us. And do dua for peace in the whole world, that Allah give guidance for everyone so that all fighting and quarreling finishes. So that these quarrels and disputes finish, enmities finish. Do dua for khair. And that there's a religion, opposition. Our religion tells us this. That you follow your deen, no worries. We follow there, no quarrel, no dispute in our deen. There's no facade. That in the name of religion, those people who spread facade are fake people. The deen, our religion, doesn't take anyone towards facade. Discord, disunity. Allah says, don't do facade on the earth. Don't spread facade, fitna. No Muslim wants to spread fitna on the earth. Yes, so we don't fight over religion. لا يُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. Our deen is simple, it's not strict. We don't force anyone to become a Muslim. We don't force anybody. Our deen teaches that respect their places of worship. Respect their places of worship. And respect their deen for what they do. We are taught this. But hidayah is in the hands of Allah. Yes, show your akhlaq, your conduct, your manners, present it, and they automatically will come to your deen when they see that you practice good. Who said throw bombs on them, or kill them, or fire at them, or blow up their buildings? Islam doesn't teach us this. Islam doesn't teach us this. Our deen doesn't teach us this. There's no facade in our deen. Yeah? Allah says that don't spread the facade. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the peaceful deen. Islam is this is the definition of peaceful deen. So we have to save ourselves from facade, put ourselves on the right path of the deen, please Allah. And Allah says that nothing will destroy our qawm. These are punishments that are coming from Allah due to our actions. Allah Ta'ala then makes another qawm overwhelm us. Yes, and Allah Ta'ala uses the other qawm nations to beat us. Anyway, may Allah Ta'ala protect all of us. And the words that we discuss, may Allah give us the ability to practice them. And especially today's environment, society, may Allah protect us all of us from this. Ameen. Recite the Rushan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman. Alhamdulillah alamin alayhim. Salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Mustafa. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal hamdu wa salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa. Wa fi نور السماوات اللهم لك الحمد انت حق وعد الحق لك قول الحق قول الحق جنة الحق نقول نبي الحق محمد النبي الحق اللهم لك اقسمت وبيك امنت وليك توكلت اقسمت وقمت انت ربنا لي مصيب اقفل لما قدمت وما اخرت مصرف تعالى بي انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت يا حي قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه نعم إنا نذكرك وشكرك وصلواتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صديقين شهداء وصالحين وصديق اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشهدنا بسنته اللهم من فضلك ورحمتك فإنه لا جنب اللهم اجعل قلبي وصمد وصمد يمين فوق الوطن ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين على كل مكان كل مكان يا رحمن الرحيم يا رحمن الرحيم يا رحمن الرحيم يا رحمن الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله